Remember, this song was given to Moses by God to be taught to the children of Israel. And just to review, we've looked at four doctrines already. The first doctrine was the person of God. Then the second doctrine was that the Father watches over His children. The third doctrine was that His children had no faith and therefore forsook Him. And then last time, God's children did not consider where their behavior would lead. Remember, He said, oh, that they will consider their latter end. Tonight's doctrine is that they trusted in the wrong rock. So we'll begin at verse 30. I apologize in advance. I have a sneeze coming eventually. You know how that works when you try to hold it back. All right, so Deuteronomy 32, down in verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom, of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them, make haste. For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Our title tonight, Their Rock is Not as Our Rock. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its amazing power. And pray that tonight, Lord, we'd be reminded how blessed we are to be founded upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we continually in our Christian lives trust in that rock. Never allow the devil to sidetrack us into trusting a different rock. So have Your will and way in our hearts and teach us tonight. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a huge theme of Deuteronomy 32. Look up at verse 4. This is when we were looking at the person of God. He is the rock. Amen. Verse 15. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook the God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. We get to the New Testament and we find out who the rock is. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, which is actually referring back to the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here in chapter 10, God is recounting some of the life of Israel. And it says in verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You say, well, what does that have to do with the rock that Moses smote with the rod? Well, everything. Because what came out of the rock but living water? Amen? And what did Jesus say? That He would give living water, referring to salvation and the Holy Spirit. If you go to Romans 9:33, the Bible teaches that Jesus is not only the rock of our salvation, but to the unsaved, He is the rock of offense. Anyone ever heard people take Jesus' name in vain? We all have, haven't we? Why does the world hate Jesus so much? Well, because the devil hates Jesus. And because He's offensive in that just believing in him makes us have to recognize that we're sinners. Otherwise, why did he die? So notice Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen? Aren't you thankful you believed on the rock? But he is the rock of offense to those who do not believe. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible teaches that he is also the rock of our foundation, of our salvation. Notice 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're saved, you are on the rock. I wish I would have remembered for us to sing that song tonight, Build It on the Rock, Christ Jesus. But that's, we are. Jesus Christ is the rock. And God says to Israel in this warning, it's been warning after warning, they're about to go into the promised land. He says, their rock, talking about Israel, is not as our rock. They've been trusting the wrong rock. And they will continue to do so when they go into the promised land, and it's going to lead to nothing but trouble, chastisement from the Lord. And so their rock is not as our rock. And it, notice in verse 35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. We'll talk more about this next week with our sixth doctrine, that God is a long-suffering God. And sometimes we sin and think, oh, nothing happened. I got away with it. Israel thought that. But their foot shall slide in due time, God's promises to those who trust in other rocks. But let's think about this rock tonight. Notice verse 37. And he shall say to them, where are their gods? Their rock, notice it's small r. Up to now it's been a large r because it's talking about God. Their rock is whom in whom they trusted. They trusted in the wrong rock. So he's talking here about the object of our faith. Amen? For this, for salvation, but also once we are Christians, who do we trust in? Do we trust in the rock, capital R, or some other rock? Which we'll discuss some of those little r rocks. Now for salvation, we all know what the Bible says. Amen? He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is only one rock, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But many in the world trust in other rocks. So let's talk about some of those rocks. We'll start with works, the one we hear about the most. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, has anyone ever said to you they believe they'll go to heaven because they did something? We all would raise our hand, wouldn't we? I was good to my neighbor. I kept the Ten Commandments. I'm not such a bad person. I've never murdered anybody. We've all heard this, haven't we? What are they trusting? They're trusting their works, little r rock, to get them to heaven, rather than the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will one day, if they don't fall on that rock, what did the Bible say in Isaiah? It will ground them to powder. Or grind them to powder, which is talking about going to hell. But Titus 3:5, we all know it, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Amen? But according to his mercy, he saved us. But how many out there in the world are trusting that little r rock, their works? All the cults do this, teach that you have to earn heaven, earn the kingdom by doing stuff. And I would say the majority of people that believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and that they believe that there is a creator, believe they're going to get to heaven because of something they have done or are doing. How sad is that? That's a little r. What's another one? Church. How many people believe they're going to heaven because they go to church? They trust their church to tell them what it takes to get to heaven, The church has become their mediator, right? Even though the Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But no, they trust something that man has put together. Look at Psalm 146, verse 3, which is a man's organization, these church organizations, and they believe the church will get them to heaven. Now, the Catholics are probably the most renowned in this area. The Catholics are trusting 100% their church to get them to heaven. It all starts with making sure that their baby gets baptized to wash away the original sin, and it carries on from there. If they will just keep the sacraments, they'll go to heaven. And the church tells them this, and they believe it, and they trust that the priests and the church will get them to heaven. Another little R, the church. Psalm 146, verse 3, look what it says. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. The church is not going to get anyone to heaven. That's a little R. Works is not going to get anyone to heaven. That's a little R. Here's another one. How about sincerity? How many times have you heard, oh, but they're so sincere? Surely God's going to bless that sincerity. Yeah, there's plenty of that out there. I would say it takes a lot of sincerity to blow people up that don't believe what you believe, to pray five times a day and change your outfit each time, take a shower each time. That's a lot of sincerity, isn't it? Most Christians don't pray five times a day. But what's the Bible say? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't care how sincere you are, if you're not going through the only way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood, your sincerity means nothing. You can be the most sincere person on earth, and you will go to hell. Because you are trusting little r, not the big R. Amen? Or how about New Age ideas? Look at Galatians 1:8. And by New Age, I mean, you know, we were talking about this in Potato Thursday night, that most of the cults are less than 200 years old. Isn't that interesting? That the church is 2,000 years old, but most of the cults are less than 200 years old. And most of the cults have been established on new ideas. We're the new church. We're something new. We have a prophet who's heard something new from God. They'll write a book about it. Maybe they had a dream, or maybe an angel showed them some golden plates and then they got lost, or whatever. But it's new, right? They're latter-day saints. But look at what Galatians 1:8 says. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's nothing new under the sun. The way to heaven hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's always been Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if there's something new, I say run away. Amen. And run to the Word of God and find Jesus. Because that new thing is a little R. It's not going to get you to heaven. Only the big R will. Or how about Mark 7:13, tradition? How many people, you know, these churches aren't necessarily cults, and they're not the Catholic Church who's teaching them that the church will get them to heaven. But they go to church every Sunday, but they get nothing. They never hear about salvation. They might hear about God. They might hear some nice stories, but they never hear the gospel. But they do things. That's just the way we've always done it. That's the way it is. Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Another little R. Tradition. All of these things the devil uses to lead people to hell. How sad. And here God is saying to Israel, they're about to go into the promised land in the book of Joshua, not far away now for us. And he says, their rock is not as our rock. What are they going to do when their rock quits on them? They're going to run. They're going to flee when the armies come. Because it's not the magnitude of the faith that's the issue, is it? It's the object of our faith. Amen? It's got to be in Jesus. It's got to be in the big rock, the only rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock that followed them, as we read in 1 Corinthians 10:4. So that's the unsaved. But what about us? Does the devil ever try to trick us into trusting in our own wisdom? Trusting in our own wit? Trusting in our own strength? Trusting in our own abilities? When we do those things, are we not trusting the wrong rock? When we start the day without Jesus, what are we saying? Well, if I get into trouble, I'll talk to Jesus. We're trusting ourselves, aren't we? I can handle today until I can't. So before we get all, you know, condemning of the lost for trusting the wrong rock, let's be careful that we trust the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs 28:26 is a very important truth, if you'll turn there, especially among the charismatics. How many times do we hear them talk about their experience and their feelings and their emotions, maybe their dreams, whatever? Proverbs 28:26, look at this important truth. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. If somebody comes to me and says, oh, but it feels right, so it's obviously God's will, I always say, well, whether it feels right or not, that doesn't prove it's God's will. You show me from the Word of God that it's God's will. Just because it feels right to you, you can't trust your feelings. Our feelings lead us astray all the time. That's trusting the wrong rock. So we need to be careful as well, don't we? As we looked at it, Patatadu today, look at Psalms 37. If we want to delight in the Lord, then what should we do? Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Amen. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. And we all know Proverbs 3:5. We can stop there tonight. Proverbs 3:5. Most of you know it by heart. Let's be careful that we never trust the little R's, which would include our heart, our feelings, our emotions, our ideas, our wisdom, our plans. There's only one rock. That's Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. God said of Israel, me as the rock, my way is perfect. Me as the rock, I've shown them the way of salvation. Me as the rock, I've begat them as a nation. I rescued them from Egypt. But their rock is not as our rock. And in that verse, the first rock is not capitalized and the second one is. So he made it easy for us, didn't he? Let's be careful that when we talk to the lost, we explain to them there's only one rock, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ and his blood. But let's be careful ourselves that we don't trust anything other than Jesus Christ for everything. Let's pray. Lord, may we remember that you are our rock, you are our foundation, you are the one that has given us living water. Lord, may we never be tricked by the devil into trusting ourselves, trusting our hearts, trusting anything but you, that we might always lean on and stand.